Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University and is a licensed chiropractor with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, and I'm going to start today's show with a question. Is your digestion a mess? That means, do you get gas when you eat a meal? Do you bloat? Do you get stomach pain? After you eat a meal, do you often feel pain in your muscular system? Do you often get diarrhea after you eat even a simple meal? Does even something as simple as a glass of water often cause you to bloat up like a balloon? Do you feel like something is living in you? Something that's calling the shots in your digestive tract instead of you? Now, I know from 20 years I'm talking to at least 50% of my audience. It's that large today. With another 30%, I would say, just narrowly escaping that same fate. I know that because poor digestion is on the tip of everybody's tongue. And if you don't believe that, I'd say just go to the drugstore sometime and observe at least three aisles, both sides devoted to digestive aids. What's that about? But I'm not going to spend the show with our precious, expensive time today reminding you what you already probably know, that digestive enzymes and hydrochloric acid are what you need to take. That's not what this show is about. I'm going to ask you another question. Within the last year, how many of you have spent a good 6 weeks cleaning out the worms in your large intestine, the parasites in your gut, the bad bacteria in your colon, the mucus plugs that plague the digestive tube? And we call those the biofilms, colonies of intelligent parasites that communicate with each other in a much higher form of intelligence than we ever thought. And what you don't know is that the bad bugs, the parasites, have tremendous adaptability, tremendous biochemical intelligence, and that at this point it appears they've outwitted what appears to be a rather simplistic antibiotic approach. I work with chemists that throw out their best drug cocktails, and the parasites, they just swap genes. The bugs genetically engineer a response that renders our best antibiotics, our best antiparasitic drugs, almost useless. You have to help it along by the cleanse. And if you're suffering in the ways I've described, you have to do something about it. When I get back from break, I'm going to teach you how.
Hi, my friends. This is Dr. Medici. Write this number down right now. 1-888-777-0711. That's 1-888-777-0711. That's my toll-free, super easy-to-remember phone number that allows you to get on the show with me live to get your health questions answered. That's 1-888-777-0711. I want to hear about your health concerns, your symptoms, your aches and pains, your questions about surgery. Anything under the name of health that concerns you concerns me, and I'll get it handled. And if it's inappropriate for the show or we need more time, I'll finish it after the show. That's 1-888-777-0711. And if you're shy and this isn't the kind of thing you do, do it anyway. I promise I'll make it easy. That's 1-888-777-0711. Hope to hear from you. Bye-bye.
Okay, now here's the book. is a book on my website called Parasite Rex, written by Carl Zimmer. Here's another book. Check the website, straighttalk.cc. Plague Time by Paul Ewald. Remember, I'm always going to have literature backing up everything I say. My job is to present it. Your job is to read it. This book will tell you that the hospital calls it a tumor. The pathologist calls it a malignancy. The medical text calls it a disease. The fact of the matter is that a massive, unforeseen number of diseases you ultimately succumb to, are often the result of complicated relationships between parasites and bacteria, hiding in mucus plugs in the intestine that we call biofilms, defying our best antibiotics, laughing at our immune systems. Now, you may be convinced this is not you, and surely the doctors would have told you had it been you. Surely you haven't been exposed, you might think, because you're careful, you're informed. I can't afford to let you think this way, because the parasites, the microbes, and the biofilms get into your systems in ways you cannot imagine. Now, I'm going to read to you two great paragraphs from the literature. There's a book also on the website called Kitchen Confidential. Great book by Anthony Bourdain. You've seen him on TV. He's a chef. He's got the Traveling Chef program. This book was a New York Times bestseller for I don't know how many weeks. And these two paragraphs really opened my eyes to what I think you'll find amazing. So here we go. A few years back at a singles joint on Columbus Avenue, Bourdain is saying they had the misfortune to employ a young man as a waiter. After he was fired for incompetence, this waiter took it upon himself to sue the restaurant, claiming that he had a gastrointestinal problem caused what he claimed by amoebas. Now, management, facing this claim, as the paragraph reads, took this litigation seriously enough to engage the services of an epidemiologist. So they hired an epidemiologist, a medical doctor, who obtained stool samples from every employee. The results, as Bourdain goes on to say, which he was privy to, were enlightening, to say the least. What was interesting is that the entire staff in the kitchen were teeming with numerous varieties of critters, none of which, in their cases, caused severe amounts of discomfort. It was explained that the results in this restaurant were no different than the results from any other restaurant, and that particularly among people coming in, all right, new to this country, that this sort of thing is normal. Amoebas are transferred most easily, as he writes, through the handling of raw, uncooked vegetables, particularly during the washing of salad greens and leafy produce. Then he goes on to say, I'm not even going to talk about blood. Let's just say we cut ourselves a lot in the kitchen. So look at that. You're in a typical restaurant in New York City. Because of a pending lawsuit, you invite an epidemiologist in. He tests the entire kitchen, tests all the food, and finds that the food, the raw salad, not the meat, but the raw salad, is teeming with amoeba and giardia. And then the management thinks that this is just terrible. They're going to close the place down. And the epidemiologist says, don't worry, because this is the normal state of affairs in all restaurants throughout the United States. Now, you were worried about the meats, probably, when you think parasites, but it's the raw salad. How about the doorknob in the restroom? How about when you shake hands with somebody? What about the shopping cart you're pushing at Ralph's or Vons or Whole Foods? And my point, of course, is from the Bourdain article I just read to you, to every bit of microbiology and parasitology you can gather, you're going to have a guarantee that you will be heavily exposed to microbes. So you see, your defense is not taking ridiculous measure to, I think, delude yourself into thinking that you're going to be spared from serious exposure. You live in the world today, you're going to be exposed to bugs. Very important concept to accept. Your defense is to ensure yourself that when the parasites and other microbes enter your body, they will not be welcome, that the terrain will not be hospitable to them, that you do not harbor a friendly digestive tract based on the chemistry, the internal chemistry of your small, large intestine and your stomach, so that when the bugs get in, they don't like what they see and they're on their way out before they can create mayhem. So number one, in your defense, we ask you, are you producing enough hydrochloric acid from the parietal cells of the stomach? And how would you do that? You'd be ingesting enough sea salt or rock salt. So that the HCl in your stomach, as your first line of defense, is sufficient enough in quantity so that the HCl will stop the bugs dead in the stomach. Now, the HCl sets up the digestive tube for the correct pH. So it's not just the HCl in the stomach digesting food. It's the HCl in the stomach that actually, and check this out, makes your large intestine acidic. The fluid between the cells of your body has to be alkaline. That's the pH thing. The pH in the morning urine midstream, when you test it with the pH paper, that urine has to be alkaline. But if it is, it makes the large intestine acidic. And that acidity in the large intestine makes sure that the terrain, that the inside of that intestine, will kill bugs. So your pH with the urine, if it's alkaline, is dependent upon adequate HCl, so that the pH in your intestine will be acidic. It's supposed to be acidic in the large intestine, and that acidity is your colon's defense against the parasites and bacteria that plague it. So there's line one of defense. After we disinfect the bowel with abundant HCl, then it's common sense. We've got to move the stool out of the body with a couple of good bowel movements a day. That means water, salt, fiber, oil, and adrenaline. Let's break that down slowly. You got to have adequate sea or rock salt that allows the large intestine to retain the water that you were supposed to drink in the first place, or you will keep urinating the water out even though you're drinking enough of it. That's a study in osmology or osmotic balance. But the point is that if within the large intestine, okay, you have a higher salt concentration than outside the large intestine will hold its water. The people that don't have the salt can drink water all day. You'll urinate it all out and you'll still say dehydrated in the large intestine. So you've got to have your salt. Now the next trick is fiber. But the thing about fiber is, you know, which fiber works best for you? Some people constipate to salad. Other people need it. Some people constipate to grain. Each fiber is specific to the person. And the reason is fibers are all different. You may need the fruit fiber called pectin, as opposed to the vegetable fiber that we call cellulose. And then the vegetables may need to be cooked, while the raw salad may actually constipate. And then with some people, your best choice for great bowels may be the oatmeal that morning. You may need the fiber from well-cooked greens like brown rice or oatmeal. And that type of fiber you need actually depends on your dosha. That's another word we're introducing. Vata, Pitta, Kapha. We could do a whole show on that, but the big boned people are the Kaphas, and they tend to need the warmth of well-cooked vegetables, but not the cold salad. Then you've got the medium boned, fiery Pittas, lanky, sinewy types, move fast, angular. Pittas will thrive on the cold salad. While the Vata, that's the small bone person. That's the delicate, especially sensitive type. The Vata may find the fibrous food irritating to the bowel lining, causing cramping. That very same salad won't work. And they may need to soothe the bowel more with the raw oils for lubrication. The Vata is the one that can have a real problem with fiber. So really, you've got to experiment with fiber. You've got to understand that after water, it's another, and salt, it's another very important component of what it takes to have a good bowel movement. But that fiber is about a certain amount of more specific knowledge. And really, you've got to experiment with it. Next to the raw oils. Everything from raw butter to raw cream to avocado to raw coconut cream to the oils from raw fish to olives and then to the unheated nut oils. See, the fats provide lubrication unless they're pasteurized. Now, if they're pasteurized, then they plug the bowels with their sticky gummy end products. So there's a great difference between putting in raw unpasteurized fat and cooked heated fats. One will move the bowels, the other will plug the bowels. And of course, which oil is right for you, again, is a matter of trial and error. But again, your dosha, your particular health concern, your anthropology, where you evolved from. Do you come from Norway or do you come from Costa Rica? Your dosha, your health concern, and most importantly, your anthropology, where you're from, tends to determine whether or not your bowels need the oil from raw cream or from an avocado. And that's a whole separate show that we'll do another time. So in the meantime, as you learn to move the bowels, you listen to your body with your fiber, you listen to your body with your oils, you bring your water in, and you bring enough salt in, sea or rock salt, so that when you sweat, if you sweat, and you should be sweating, and that's another show, so that when you sweat, the sweat on your shoulder is salty. Then we need adrenaline. Adrenaline is needed to hold magnesium in the blood and to provide peristalsis, that turning action is absolutely vital, and adrenaline provides that. It holds magnesium in the blood, and that magnesium will work its way into the large intestine, and that's a stool softener. And of course, you don't make the adrenaline without at least 5 straight hours of sleep. I hope you know that by now. But that's at least 5. That's the minimum 5 straight. When you're healthy, it's 5 straight. I have patients sleeping 10, 12 straight hours, and that's how you heal. And if you're in that category, you're not going to get by with 5 straight. We want 8 straight. Whatever it takes to have you springing out of bed in the morning ultimately is the amount of sleep you need. So, first line of defense to the parasite is strong HCL of the stomach, followed by 2 to 3 good bowel movements a day. Add to that a powerful army of healthy probiotic bacteria, the product of your consumption with raw fermented foods. Remember last week's show, the natto, sauerkrauts, kefirs, raw cheeses. And then you, twice per year, you flush your intestines out with a 6-week course of antiparasitic herbs. You worm yourself. Farmers worm their animals. Vets understand the importance of worming their animals. Nature always worms itself. You know, you study the animals in nature, and they do astounding things to make sure. There's a species of baboon that eats what almost tears out the inside of its digestive tract, some sort of a plant with thorns in it, to make sure it rips out the intestinal parasites. Nature's got hundreds of little tricks, animal to animal, to make sure that it doesn't succumb to parasites. So you worm yourself if you want to end your constipation, headaches, fatigue, gas, bloating, diarrhea, IBS and Crohn's. Big, big maladies today, way up at the top of the chart with low back pain and the flu. IBS, Crohn's, always linked to animals in the gut. Pain throughout your entire body after you ingest even a little bit of food. Inability to sometimes drink a glass of water without bloating. That's what a parasite cleanse can handle. So I designed something to offer you with 6 bottles of paracidin, which contains 7 different antiparasitic herbs. 1 container of cleanse blend providing the fiber, peristaltic agents, black walnut hull, another antiparasitic. I added then 1 bottle of MediClay, that's the bentonite clay. And that's the masterstroke, because the bentonite clay will expand and force all the cleanse blend out against the walls of the inner bowel. It presses them. And it's, that herbal brew gets forced up against the wall of the small and large intestine. The scraping action weeds out and destroys the mucus plugs of infected parasitic nests we call biofilms. So you see, there's a synergy there that's important. You just don't do paracidin for parasites and leave it alone. You just don't do cleanse blend to move the bowels. You blend things based upon your understanding of what they do in the body. That's the trick. Then I added 1 bottle of laxogen to effectively counter the cleanse blend, because some people will plug up to psyllium. So we've added an herb then to counter that. We need the cleanse blend. I need the psyllium husk scraping along with the bentonite clay scraping the mucus plugs. But I can't allow the scraping and the pressure to prevent the lubrication. And that's where the laxogen will come in nicely, so that the stool just slides out of your body where it belongs. Now, you can cleanse 1 month effectively for $189.99. The cleanse is important, okay, not just for digestive problems, but for any perception of how you're going to drive the fundamental of your health. 6 bottles of paracidin, 1 container of cleanseland, a bottle of laxogen, 1 MediClay for 1 month at $189.99. And if you order today, the shipping's free. You know the number, 310-320-1132. That's Rachel, Carla, Jolene, and Rebecca to explain the details. Okay, we're going to take a brief time out, and then we're going to come back to the phones. Please bring your questions on digestion. It'd be so good to stick to digestion if it's at all possible. All right, we're going to take a break.
Hi, my friends. This is Dr. Medici. Write this number down right now. 1-888-777-0711. That's 1-888-777-0711. That's my toll-free, super easy-to-remember phone number that allows you to get on the show with me live to get your health questions answered. That's 1-888-777-0711. I want to hear about your health concerns, your symptoms, your aches and pains, your questions about surgery, anything under the name of health that concerns you concerns me, and I'll get it handled. And if it's inappropriate for the show or we need more time, I'll finish it after the show. That's 1-888-777-0711. And if you're shy and this isn't the kind of thing you do, do it anyway. I promise I'll make it easy. That's 1-888-777-0711. Hope to hear from you. Bye-bye.
Dr. Medici wants to thank everyone for listening to his show. And of course, you'll want to know how to make an appointment with the maestro yourself. If you're facing a health issue and need an expert orchestrator who can get to the underlying causes, then all you need to do is go to straighttalk.cc and click on Make an Appointment. Rachel or Joanna will call, get your appointment booked, and take the necessary initial health information. If you don't have a computer, feel free to call them directly at 310-320-1132. 310-320-1132. Dr. Medici spends several hours initially getting to know you and understanding your health concerns. His healing methods are about quality of health as opposed to quantity of patients. Your health experience at the Premier Center will be different than any other doctor's office visit, guaranteed. To make your appointment, submit a request online at straighttalk.cc or by calling 310-320-1132.
Okay, guys, we're back. Got a whole string of callers here. Dynamite. We've got a lot of digestive stuff. Let's take Marianne from Anaheim. We've got a 28-year-old with recurring yeast infections. They keep doing rounds of antibiotics, which aren't going to work, of course, and can you help? Hi, Maria. Marianne.
Yes.
Hi, Dr. Medici. I'm reading here that you have a 20-year-old, 8-year-old daughter with recurring yeast infections.
Yes, she just left for work, and she was in some pain. Again, we'll go tonight to the MediCenter, start the regime all over again. We've got to stop this cycle somewhere.
Yeah, and we will before we hang up today. And if necessary, I'll finish the call after the show. Okay, yeast is not rocket science. First thing, guys, about yeast, it's a secondary infection. Okay, secondary meaning something is making sure that the yeast grow. Yeast have a function in the body, an important function. And that function is they're scavengers. Yeast are the garbage men of the body. Yeast scan the body cell to cell. And when they see something dead or something partially dead, something overly ripe that's about to drop, they eat it. So what's really happening, okay, is that your daughter is doing something, and we're going to find it out in a moment, that's allowing, okay, her cells to regenerate not as rapidly as they're supposed to. So a lot of those cells are in a semi-living state, and the yeast see them and snatch them up. So something's making the yeast grow. Now, sometimes we actually have parasitic infections, and we're going to probe a little more, and maybe we've got a microbe in there, because what do? Microbes eat the food you're supposed to eat, and they damage the inner lining to the digestive tube. And once those cells are damaged, the yeast grows secondary to eat the partially defective cells. But let me ask you a question. Do you know if your daughter, is she an O blood?
No, not as far as I know.
Okay, do you know what blood type she is?
No.
Okay, so she may or may not be an O blood is what we're saying.
Possibly.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Does she like meat, animal protein?
Yes, but not overly. And she likes it pretty raw.
Okay, good. How often does she eat animal protein?
Probably 3 times a week.
Okay.
At the most.
Okay. Does she eat a lot of sugar and a lot of carbohydrate?
Well, I believe she eats too much, and when before her period, she will eat candy and such.
Okay. Let me ask you this. How are her bowels? Does she go once a day? Does she go twice a day?
Well, the last time a doctor asked her a year ago, she was worried that she was moving her bowels twice a day, and he said, that's good. So that is good.
That doctor was correct.
Yes.
So she's moving her bowels twice a day. She's eating meat a good 3 times a week.
Yes.
All right. When she eats, and when you say yeast infection, is that through the vaginal canal, or is that in the large intestine?
Oh, I don't know. She has a prescription from the last time, which was a while ago, and it's not working. She went to work a little pain, and I'm going to take her to the MediCenter tonight. Other than that, she's in perfect health.
Does she have any type of bladder problems? Does she get a lot of
urinary
tract infections? So this yeast, then, is probably noted to be in the vaginal canal.
I would think so.
Okay.
But I'm not a doctor. Yes, sir.
Okay. It's two things that she needs to do. One, has she ever done a good colon cleanse? This is actually perfect for the show. This is the first call in five shows that's actually been perfect for the theme of the show. She's your candidate, your chief candidate for a colon cleanse.
She's never done that.
It's so important for her to get hooked into this. We're going to have the show in the archive. As soon as she gets a chance, she should listen. The whole show was really about her case, because whether it's some sort of a microbe that's not allowing her cells to regenerate and forcing the growth of the yeast, or the pHs in the digestive tract are off because she's not ingesting enough salt, okay? So her intestines are not acidic enough. If the intestines are acidic in the large intestine, the yeast does not want to grow. See, there is an alkalinity and acidity specific to each organ system. Now, everybody knows that the morning pH is supposed to be alkaline, and that's true. But if it is, then the vaginal canal becomes acidic. and the large intestine becomes acidic, and they will not let yeast grow then. The bladder has to be alkaline, just like your morning pH, and if the bladder is alkaline, the yeast will not grow. So there's this alkalinity or acidity that gets set up in different parts of the body if your morning pH is correct. And for your morning pH to be correct, one thing you got to have in your body is salt. Another thing you got to have in your body is enough calcium, the ionized calcium, like the Carl Legend. The diet, when you balance out the acidifying foods with the alkalizing foods, the diet's got to be promoting an alkaline body so you can have an acidic vaginal tract, an alkaline bladder, an acidic large intestine, and then yeast doesn't have a reason to grow. But even more than that, fundamental infection will not have a place to grow. Can I ask you, was she breastfed?
Yes, I was 41 when I had her.
Okay.
And she was breastfed minimum of a year.
Fantastic. You keep your daughter in good shape then, because most 28-year-olds are just sugar addicts. So she's gotten some good education there. Honestly, I think she's perfect for this type of a cleanse. But I think what I'm going to do is talk to you after the show, okay?
Yes,
doctor. So I'm going to put you on hold, and you can continue to listen to the show, and then Debbie will cue you in with me after the show, because I think I got to ask a lot more questions still, okay?
Well, I thank you for your time. This is
really, really wonderful to talk to you. Okay.
Thank you, doctor.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Goodbye.
My God, the phones are going off the hook here. We got 21 callers in the bay. This is wonderful. It's going to be a long day. I'm going to get to everybody. All right, let's continue with digestion. This is Patty, has digestive issues and acid reflux with everything that she eats. Again, this is perfect. Hi, Patty. It's Dr. Medici.
Oh, hi, Dr. Medici. How are you?
Wonderful. You've got a perfect case here for the show. Now, tell me, that's digestive issues, acid reflux with everything that you eat.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to matter what it is. The worst, of course, being acidic things like tomato sauce and things like that.
You bet. All right, so let's ask a couple of questions. Do you move your bowels fairly well?
No, only because I have also hypothyroidism, which
okay.
The only symptom I have of that is, seems to be, that I know of, is a slight bit of constipation. Not all the time, but I don't go twice a day, no.
Okay, do you go good once a day?
Yes, and then I'll skip a day, and then I'll go. And then
okay, and how? Tell me, Patty, can I ask your age approximately?
56.
Okay, and how many years has the bowel been sluggish?
Probably about 10 years.
Okay. So once the bad, how many children?
Two.
Okay. So one of the things is as the bowels slow down, okay, the ecosystem then in the large intestine starts to go off kilter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So definitely if we could bring that bowel up to twice a day, all right, then.
I've never gone twice a day.
Yeah. Then we're creating more space. Okay, up in the intestinal tract. You see, one of the big clues for you that makes this a little bit different than normal acid reflux is that you get it from everything.
Yes.
When you get it from everything, it's really not the food then that you're obviously choosing.
That's my thought.
It's, you bet, and you're right on with it. It's other things. And the other things are, one, we got to move the food out a little bit faster to create more space there.
Okay.
Now, number two is this. Just want to check. Do you use salt? Sea salt?
Yes, I use your pink salt.
All right. That's fantastic. All right. Have you ever tried the gallbladder flush? And do you move bile?
I don't seem to have a problem with digesting fats, but I don't
okay.
use a lot of fat either, just olive oil and coconut oil.
Okay. And the other thing is this. All right. Have you ever had any other, did you ever travel somewhere and find yourself drinking the wrong water, eating the wrong food? Have you ever had in your history any type of travel where you think you've been exposed to something?
No.
Okay. Now tell me, if you eat a very rare piece of meat, are you going to get this acid reflux?
Let me probably ask you. I don't really eat red meat.
Okay.
I'm a type A blood type. That makes any difference?
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. When you do eat, have you been the kind of person that just never ate fats? You had like a fat phobia?
No.
So you do eat
fat. I eat a tablespoon of coconut oil every day and olive oil on my salad every night.
Okay, and you don't have any
raw.
You don't have any trouble digesting it.
No, well, no, like
you don't have any. You don't have any extra trouble because it's a fat.
No.
Okay, and what you got to do is you got to hit the basics. Okay, because not a lot is standing out here, and what you may have. And that's what complicates matters, is a combination of a little bit of a lot of areas to work in. So you checklist it. And see, this is the reality of the way a lot of people end up healing, Patty. If they don't have one system that is clearly out of whack, I mean, very obviously a problem, they can easily have a symptom because all the other systems of the body, the biliary system, the bowels, the hormonal system, may be just a little bit under the weather.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question. When you birthed your children, did you scar?
Yes, I had 2 C-sections, but I have since mud-packed those, and it took me about 12 times, and then they were clear. They tested as cleared.
Okay. I think that you have to systematically, okay, work through your body. And what that means is that, one, we have to make sure that you're getting bile. Now, bile is not just to digest fats. Bile sets up the whole digestive chemistry of your intestines. And if you haven't done flushes, where we can be assured that bile is moving out of your body, then I don't know if the biliary system is patent yet.
I took your gallbladder liquid, the nano gallbladder,
right.
And I did do a tried doing the olive oil flush.
Have you ever done?
It was horrible.
Okay, now there. Now let's see this. Now this is now we're getting there. I may have to take this after the show. You know, these are great cases. Sometimes you got to go over them like Sherlock Holmes. You see, if you're not taking anything more than olive oil, and you're having...
Well, I did olive oil and the apples and the, you know...
I understand. And you're having a terrible response to that. It tells me we're not getting bile. And until we've proven, when my patients do a coffee enema, they will get to the place where they release a lot of yellow-green fluid, bile. When they swallow the olive oil out of their body, 8-10 hours later, will come a lot of green bile. They will not get nauseous. They will not get tired. They won't have any negative reaction to it. And that suggests that they have biliary patency. The bile is starting to flow. And so until you get to that point, all right, you're losing bile as a digestive aid. Okay? Now, I'm sure this is playing part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And until we get it, we can't take its asset. On top of which, we've got to get your bowels up to twice a day. And if it means we have to work the thyroid and bring the thyroid up, we need to. Now, here's the thing with you. When you have a cesarean, it shuts off, okay, what we call the low hormonal burner in the body. You make less progesterone off the scar as a reflex, and you need progesterone to make thyroxin. So I know what's keeping the thyroid a little bit low.
Well, I take Armour for it.
Whatever you take, as long as we're having these subtle signs, like when you exercise, if you don't sweat a lot, like if your hands and feet tend to be cold, like the bowels. We're not getting the thyroid to optimal function. We've got to bring up the metabolism, and that scar down there, and then the hormonal deficit, I suspect, combined with the bile. And I think after the show, we're going to keep going, and what we're going to end up with, Patty, is what I said in the beginning. There's multiple factors, none of which stand out like a monster. but all of which combine together to cross critical mass and keep you in the state that you're in. So this is this is one of those wonderful cases where you've got to have refined diagnostics. So again, I'm going to have to take it after the show.
Oh, great. Okay.
Okay. We'll get to the bottom of it. Sometimes I can't do it in a minute or two. It's just a little bit too complicated.
That would be wonderful.
Okay.
I've been so many places.
All right. You just hang on. We'll catch you later.
Thank you.
Ciao. Fantastic. Guys, you're listening to the kinds of cases you haven't heard the last 4 weeks. You see, sometimes walking into a doctor's office are things that are just so absolutely obvious right off the top of your head, and just great diagnostics can nail it immediately. And then sometimes you got multiple factors, each of which isn't by itself enough to create a huge problem. But when you combine them, all those negative variables add up, and then they overcome your body's good physiology. And I think the last two calls were exactly like that. Okay, here's one. We got Lisa from Irvine. A protocol test, amoeba histolytica, along with four pathogenic bacteria. What's the treatment protocol and the infectiveness of the, I think she means allicidin. So let's get to Lisa on line five. And I think I lost Lisa on line five. Okay. We've got Lena. We've got 83 years old. We got a colon problem. A lazy colon abused with laxative. Now eats 90% fiber with lots of water. What can she do? Four episodes of impaction this year. We got to help her out. All right, line six. Hi, Lena. It's Dr. Medici.
Yes, doctor.
All right. We've got laxative use. You take a lot of fiber with a lot of water, and we've had four episodes of impaction. Now, let me ask you, Lena, we'll figure this out. Let me ask you, do you move a lot? Do you walk? Are you getting into the garden, walking to the stores?
Yes, I move. I move. I do a few exercises at home, and
okay.
Yeah. I move around the house all the time. I drive around my area.
All right, beautiful, beautiful.
Like
all right, mm-hmm. When you're eating food, you must be bloating a lot, yes?
Yeah,
because if you're impacted or you have a tendency towards impaction. All right, one thing.
The impaction was 4 years ago. I wanted to correct that. About 2 years ago.
Okay.
Four episodes about 2 years ago, not this year.
Okay, good for you. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you using digestive enzymes? For you, this would be real important.
I've been using, for years, I used the activator and the HCL.
Okay. Are you doing also the Quantum Digest?
I took quite a bit of that, too, a few years ago, not now.
Okay.
But it didn't seem to make any change for me.
Okay. Well, one thing I'm going to strongly recommend that you do, you got to start with the fundamentals. And so if you can, I would really, really suggest that as a fundamental, and then I'll build on it over the next few minutes, but as a fundamental, you want to bring per meal about 2 Quantum Digest. If you can handle 3 to 4 HCL and 2 Activator, with the meals, at least with your 2 biggest meals, very important, okay? You got to remember, the HCL and the digestive enzymes are going to start to burrow out any future impaction, okay? They'll start working on your intestinal tract to work against what's going to drive impaction, all right? The enzyme will start to digest. You see, part of what you call impaction, believe it or not, is only partially digested food. It is much easier when the food goes in and it's partially digested, it'll inflame the body, and that inflammation will produce a lot of mucus, and that mucus will help to create the impaction. So it's not the only thing here, Alina, but it's a prerequisite. It's a fundamental. Now, the other thing is, are you using salt on your food? Hi, Lena. Okay, we lost Lena. Alrighty, we're gonna. What do we have? how to deal with oily stools, inability to handle oils. Okay, let's take Ann from Antelope Valley, line 10. Hi, Ann. It's Dr. Medici. Hello? Hi, Ann. Okay, I hear Ann's radio in the back there. I guess Ann can't hear me. All right. Well, Ann, if she calls back, how to deal with oily stools, inability to handle oils. I hope a lot of the listeners know what that is. The minute you can't metabolize oil, that's the first show we did, that's the gallbladder. That's a simple one. And again, people come in all the time or call in with that simple kind of stuff that they just unfortunately haven't been exposed to the answer. Okay, so the bile emulsifies the oil, and then once it's emulsified, meaning broken down into smaller droplets, the lipase from the pancreas, okay, comes in and it finishes digestion of the oil, and you don't any longer have an inability to handle oil. So that's Antelope Valley there, Anne. And Lena's back now. So let me get Lena on line 6 again. Hi, Lena.
Yes, thank you.
Lost you there for a minute. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Okay. Now, that impaction, you've got to begin it with good digestion. If I don't have that working for me, I can't build on it. It's not the only cause, but it's one of the basis is behind it. The second issue would be this. Can you tell me, all right, have you done any, what type of laxative actually helped you? Because that's going to be a big clue.
I don't know which ones helped me. I take all different kinds. I take Miralax. I take Metamucil.
Okay.
I take... Cleanse Blend, your Cleanse Blend
product. Well, let me ask you a question. With the Cleanse Blend, do you go once a day?
Only a small amount. For to do better, I have to use suppositories.
Okay. What suppository do you use?
It's a glycerin.
Okay.
Just a regular commercial glycerin.
All right.
Suppository.
All right. Can I ask you, Do you get a lot of oil into the body? Do you eat foods with oily, like avocado, like olives, like butter?
No butter. I use olive oil every morning in my porridge and every night in my vegetables. About, I guess, at least a tablespoon, maybe more, of olive oil.
Okay.
Every 24 hours.
So we get enough water, we get enough salt, we get enough oil. Do you sleep well? How do you sleep?
I take homeopathic type products, Boiron, the little for excessive activity brain to relax me. And I could sleep all night if I didn't have to get up and go to the bathroom once. So I don't get the. I usually get like 3 hours and 4 hours at a stretch.
All right.
All my life previously, years ago, all my life when I had the family and working, I was very nervous. I still am, but I'm aware of it now. I wasn't aware of my nervousness then, and I didn't sleep well. I did not sleep well. Too much agitation.
Okay.
Too much reacting incorrectly to life's problems.
Okay, I understand. So now the plot's thickening a little. Let me ask you, all right, the problem with the colon, did it start how long ago?
Lifelong sluggish colon, doctor.
Okay.
Lifelong. My mother used to give me castor oil as a child, but I think I've had diarrhea once or twice in my whole life.
Were you breastfed?
Yes.
Okay, all right. I'm going to take a hunch here that somewhere in the childhood there was enough emotional stress, okay, to start to create a life of, you know, the kind of person that might worry a little too much or might have a little too much anxiety about the day. not able to relax themselves at the end of the day, and that the more tension in the body each day, it would affect the bowel. See, the bowel's got its own psychology to it. And sometimes when you have people who are constipated from childhood, you have a whole other discussion. It's not water, salt, fiber, oil, and adrenaline. It's a different discussion. The problem sometimes when you've got the childhood constipation is outside the realm of nutrition. Mm-hmm. So we're moving into another department. And it has to do with, I don't know if you heard the third show on stress. And what it says is that peristalsis, and I want everybody listening to catch this, peristalsis, okay, the ability to move stuff through the intestinal tract, is a function of really the nervous system, the nerves, extensions of the brain and spinal cord that are tied in to the intestinal tract. They give off an electrical current, and that current is what creates the peristalsis. But sometimes that current is intercepted, and that's what you call psychogenic constipation. It begins when we're little. It can even begin when the fetus is in the womb of the mother and there's just a lot of stress and tension in the mother's life. And so the child will come out, and those fields of electricity into the intestinal tract that would create the flow of the food through the intestines, those electrical circuits are interrupted. And so this has to do with a whole other type of work.
It sounds like all of that applies to me.
Yeah, I think. Are you very slender?
Well, yes and no. I'm not overweight. I weigh, I'm 5'2" now. I used to be 5'5" because I have osteoporosis.
Okay.
But I weigh 120 pounds.
Okay. As when you were 20 years old, were you very? Would you call yourself very slender?
No.
Okay.
No, I was about 150 pounds when I was 20. But then I lost a few pounds before I got married at age 24, and I have never been that heavy since, except when I had a 10-pound baby, and I went up pretty big then.
Okay, all right. You know what we're going to do? Again, great case. I know our listeners are learning a lot, but I'm not done with you. So what I'm going to do is put you on hold, Lena, and I'm going to get to you after the show, and I'll get to the bottom of this, and we'll expand out on it a lot more, okay?
Okay, I'll hold on.
Okay, really nice to talk to you.
You too, dear.
Bye. All right, very interesting cases. I hope you guys listening are learning, but this is actually how medicine is done. This is Sherlock Holmes. It is not always you just spit out the answer in 30 seconds. It doesn't work that way. See, these happen to be more complicated cases, and I can really see how these people have lived so long and have had trouble. You got to sit down. My consults sometimes will go for 2 hours, and I'll be asking questions like that for 2 hours. I've worked with the best of the best. It's the same thing. You know, in a sense, on the radio, people call in, and in a sense, it's great to just spit the answer out in 2 seconds, but that's not always reality. So I hope this reality is exciting to you. I love this part of it. All right, it's 10:53 here. I think we can fit another call in. Let's see what we got. Oh, boy, I can see this one. All right, Agnes in West L.A. is coughing mucus up constantly, especially after she eats. If she eats nothing the whole day, she does not have this. The gallbladder has been taken out. You guys can start to guess what's going on here, right? All right. Let's hear Agnes in line 12. Hi, Agnes. Dr. Medici?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Medici.
Okay.
I'm so glad I hear you. A long time ago, you have helped me when you were still in Torrance.
Oh, beautiful. That's a good thing. That's a good thing to hear when you're out in the trenches. So thank you.
Oh, yeah. And I was barely able to move. And you even had to use somebody to have a... what do you call it? Then to somebody else, you take the reading. But it was marvelous. It really helped.
Okay.
But now I have new problems.
Yeah. And when did they take the gallbladder out?
Oh, it must be 25 years ago or more.
Okay. So here's the thing. We're going to have to work very diligently. I want you to call that after I talk to you, and then
after I talk to you after the show, we're going to have to talk to Rachel, and I'm going to tell you what to get. We've got to make the bile flow through that gallbladder, because if we don't have a gallbladder, then your digestion is going to suffer. And so the food that you're eating will partially digest. It'll inflame the intestine, and your body's going to secrete a lot of mucus then, because you're so inflamed in the intestine. And once that happens, okay, once that happens, you're going to start coughing up that mucus. So every time you eat, you inflame, your body makes mucus, that mucus gets in the way, it's noxious, it's poisonous, it's mixing with all the decay of partially digested food, and you're coughing it up again. So the one thing we got to do is compensate for that surgery you had. Then we've got to really look into the diet, because we've got to put foods into your body, okay? Foods into your body that you can digest very, very easily. If your digestion's challenged at all by the food you're taking, Agnes, then you're going to inflame and you're going to get the mucus. So we've got to fix the gallbladder issue by opening up the bile veins in the liver. And that's what I want you to talk to Rachel about later.
Uh-huh.
And then we've got to change the food choices to make the digestion much, much, much less stressful to you, because we got to compensate for that. Are you taking digestive enzymes?
Yes, I usually just take one. All right. Unless maybe I have meat, then I'll take two.
Okay. All right. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to continue after the show, and then after I talk to you, then we're going to be talking to Rachel, okay?
Yes, thank you.
All right, good to talk to you. Okay, my friends, we're going to wrap it up. Great calls. Great calls. If everybody participates like this, everybody's going to learn. Calls that I couldn't answer immediately. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you can. Okay, what more can I say? I put together a great anti-parasitic formula for 1 month. It's $189.99. Call 310-320-1132. 310-320-1132. You ask to talk to Carla, Rebecca, Rachel, or Jolene. Get to know my staff. 6 bottles of Paracidin Cleanse Blend. Bentonite clay, a bottle of Laxygen, formulated, I think, in a beautiful way. Free shipping if you order today. I don't think I need to see anything more about the importance of having a parasite-free intestinal tract. Absolute basis for health and longevity. Okay, wonderful show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as me. Dr. Vincent Medici, Straight Talk on Health. I'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part? You can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.